6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. Let us pray. O Lord of life, thank you for your word which makes us alive in Christ and keeps us alive in him. We need more of that life-giving power in us today, so we turn our attention to what you want to say to us now, individually and together, that the life of Christ may take fuller more abundant shape in each of us and in our church. We pray in his name. Amen. There's a question I've been hearing more and more recently. When is Easter? I've even heard it from folks in the church as well. We sense that Easter is near, but occasionally we have trouble pinning it down on the calendar, yet rest assured that though we may not always be able to recall exactly when Easter is, Hallmark knows. When one of their advertising brochures arrived in the mail earlier this week, the bar at the top announced Easter is Sunday, April 17th. And inside were offers for cards, ornaments, t-shirts, mugs, tote bags, frames, other kinds of items, and my personal favorite, a cute, fuzzy little chick that lays eggs, plastic eggs, and bops and moves around while going along with a parody of Rapper's Delight. On the back page, next to the coupons, was a buy one, get one free offer for scented candles. The scents listed included peach flower, spring bouquet, tropical escape. So I'm guessing that if you step into any Hallmark store sometime between now and Easter, you can probably sample some of those fragrances yourself directly, firsthand. When you step actually not into a store today, but into this text that we've got from John, you'll notice that it's impossible to miss the smell that fills this room. Not because Martha has been shopping at the Hallmark store there in Bethany, but because Mary, we're told, has poured out a gift to Jesus right in the middle of a dinner given in order to honor Jesus. Mary herself gives extravagantly, generously, sacrificially. She pours out a pound of expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. Now we need to keep in mind that this is no delicate scent that's been formulated in a Yankee candle lab somewhere. This is a strong, overpowering smell that takes over the space where these family and friends have gathered. It's really more of an earthy aroma, a woody, spicy scent. There's no way that you could have been in that particular room and miss it. And as we hear, Judas certainly doesn't miss it. He immediately speaks up, protesting what he views as a case of Mary's wastefulness. She's been part of the community of Jesus' followers long enough to know that a simplicity of life and care for the poor are high on his agenda. So instead of taking this pricey oil and dumping it on Jesus' feet, why not sell it and use it to help people who don't have any shelter or clothes or food? At first, that sounds like a reasonable request from the person who is in charge of managing the fellowship's benevolence fund. Anyone who's a disciple of Jesus knows already from their experience with him that stewardship matters. Mercy and compassion toward the poor matters. But according to John, there are things that matter more to Judas than stewardship and benevolence, namely personal financial gain and self-preservation. That's such a contrast, really, to the self-giving and the self-emptying that goes on between Mary and Jesus, and between Jesus and Mary and others there in this room. Rather than keeping the perfume for herself, Mary broke the seal, we're told, and poured it out. Remember that this is a whole year's worth of wages poured out in a few minutes. But Mary knows, really, that there's something more precious in this room, Jesus himself and the love that he has for his followers, the love that they, including Mary, have for him. These things are precious as well. Mary knows this, and she shows her love lavishly, and she even uses her hair to wipe the oil on Jesus' feet. Her devotion to Jesus is really beyond calculation. Her generosity and her sacrifice, her adoration for Jesus are priceless. I also notice that Mary's act of devotion here to Jesus is so in the moment, really. She is present to him, and he's present to her. She sees the opportunity to give, and she seizes it. It reminds me of an experience that a friend once described to me. He had been part of a group of folks from a church that went to an area in Appalachia to help serve the poor, particularly by repairing and renovating houses. And there was a woman whose house they were working on who asked them about how their food and meals had been during the course of the week. They responded sort of unenthusiastically because most of their menu had been pasta and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches so far during the week. So the next day when they arrived at the woman's house, they were amazed that she had taken one of her own chickens and killed it and prepared fried chicken for them to have for dinner. And in view of what little she had, it was a costly and generous gift, an extravagant expression of gratitude and love. Now, in a similar way, Mary sees what's right in front of her. She sees who's right in front of her and gives of herself with abandon and affection. And I think in this way, Jesus wants to give us a picture of what discipleship looks like, what it means to live in a relationship of love with him. He wants us to see what faithful discipleship looks like here in what Mary is doing. And it turns out that being a disciple of Jesus looks like Jesus, not just the Jesus who taught about the kingdom or fed the multitudes or healed the sick or raised the dead. That was certainly part of it, but also mostly the Jesus who is now headed toward his own death. That's where we're at in the bigger story. The one who called Lazarus to come out of his grave is now on his way to his own grave. And Mary's act of devotion points in that direction. So when Judas criticizes her And Jesus says, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Jesus isn't telling them that they shouldn't be concerned about or care about the poor. There'll always be opportunities, he reminds them, to practice discipleship by caring for the poor and needy. Rather, his focus in this case is on simply telling them that his time with them is limited. The opportunity for them to respond to him is now, here in his presence. And that's exactly what Mary does. She acts. She responds to Jesus. She responds with selflessness and with sacrifice. And soon, what will happen? Jesus will do the same for the redemption of the world. And at the time of his burial, part of what will happen, Jesus will be anointed. And what Mary does now gives a preview of what's to come. Mary gives us not just a preview in that way, she may also be giving us a preview of another scene that's soon going to unfold here on Jesus' path to the cross. In the very next chapter, Jesus will wash the feet of his own disciples as an expression of love for them, as a way of drawing them into his life with God. And he'll also tell them to repeat this act of loving service for one another, to do it among themselves as his followers. So what Jesus does for his disciples and tells them that they will do for one another, Mary has done for him here in our scene today. In that way, Mary models the life of discipleship, the life of love, a life that embraces Jesus and that embraces him not just in his life, but especially in his suffering and in his death, as that comes further and further into the story here. There's a man named Jeff Collins. He tells about a time when he served with a particular ministry called Love and Action. And he says it was 5 o'clock on a Friday. He was looking forward to having a relaxing dinner with some friends that evening when the phone rang. And he says, Jeff, it's Jimmy. I heard a quivering voice say, Jimmy, who suffered from several AIDS-related illnesses, was one of our regular clients. I'm really sick, Jeff. I've got a fever. Please help me. And Jeff says, I was angry. After a 60-hour work week, I didn't want to hear about Jimmy, but I promised to be right over. And still, during the drive, I complained to God about the inconvenience. He says that the moment I walked in the door, I could smell the vomit. Jimmy was on the sofa, shivering and in distress. I wiped his forehead and then got a bucket of soapy water and began cleaning up the mess. I managed, he says, to maintain a facade of concern, even though I was raging inside. And then he notes that one of Jimmy's friends named Russ came down the stairs, and when he got a whiff of the smell, he got sick too and threw up. As I cleaned the carpet also around Russ's chair, Jeff says, I was ready to explode inside. And then he says, Russ startled him. I understand, said Russ. I understand. And Jimmy said, what are you talking about, Russ? What do you understand? And Russ said, I understand who Jesus is now. Jesus is like Jeff. Jesus is like Jeff. So weeping, Jeff hugged Russ and he prayed with him. And Russ accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. A God who, Jeff says, had used me to show his love in spite of myself by presenting really a picture of who Jesus is and what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, living in loving sacrifice. Even though his attitude, like we could tell, wasn't the greatest, Jeff had done something critical here. He had gotten down really into the odor of all that suffering and all that sorrow and had released the aroma of life. And in the process, he became an image of what discipleship looks like. His servanthood there in that moment became a witness so that others could see a Savior who gets down and washes feet and gives himself on the cross, that kind of Savior. Back in 2008, actress Gwyneth Paltrow launched a weekly email newsletter called Goop, and eventually a website was added, and then Goop expanded into e-commerce. Today it's a wellness and lifestyle brand with all kinds of products, including beauty products, and among those products are scented candles. One of those candles marketed by Goop is called Edition 01 Church, and it even comes in a little bottle of perfume. This is what the product description says. This is a scent of cypress smoke, snow, and a sexy sense of quiet. Resins of red cedar and labdanum mix with cypress root, frankincense, clove leaf oil, and helichrysum flower for a perfume that evokes a crackling fire, a cypress grove by the sea, and the centuries-old floorboards of an ancient European chapel. That sounds pretty complex as a scent. You might want to stick to something simpler at Hallmark or wherever else you're interested in looking. That last phrase is what catches really, though, my attention. The centuries-old floorboards of an ancient European chapel. In other words, it smells like church. At least what some people think of when they think of church. It turns out really that church smells can vary. Some people associate church with musty, old kinds of smells. Sometimes that's because of the age of the building or because of poor circulation. Sometimes churches, in order to give you a fuller experience of entering into a sacred space or being in the presence of God, will add to worship incense, candles, oils, these kinds of things. Here at Grace Baptist Church, I don't really think that we're known for any particular scent. In pre-COVID times, I think we may have put some scented candles out in the vestibule or the lobby to help create more of a sense of warmth or comfort or welcome in that way, those kinds of scents. In the days before COVID as well, I think that the primary scent in our building may have come really from the food that was on the tables in the fellowship hall. There's nothing quite like that experience of exiting the sanctuary and being met by the smell of fried chicken and casseroles. We greatly miss those days and those scents here in the life of our church. But that doesn't mean really that there's no scent in this church. At all times, really, in all circumstances, we're told, this place is meant to be filled with the aroma of devotion to Jesus and devotion to one another. That's what we see in Mary, and that's what should be seen in us. Mary, in our text today, she shows us what it looks like to be one of Jesus' own, to belong to Jesus. She shows us that basically true discipleship is about personal devotion to Jesus expressed in acts of love. That's what a lot of it comes down to. Personal devotion to Jesus expressed in acts of love. Love toward one another in the fellowship of Jesus' disciples. Love beyond the fellowship toward the world as well. And that kind of love becomes visible in our scripture here today too. We see that this kind of love, it isn't half-hearted or calculating. It's generous and sacrificial. This kind of love, it's not about holding yourself back, but pouring yourself out, really. It's not about what you can gain. It's more about what you can give up. That's what we see in our scripture here today too. It's about giving boldly of yourself to Jesus, who has given boldly of himself to you, most of all on the cross, because that's where, at the cross, Jesus releases the fragrance of life. That's where Jesus releases into this world of sin and death the fragrance of forgiveness and new life, eternal life. And really, that kind of fragrance, it spreads. It spreads among us as we give our lives to Jesus and to one another. And as that kind of thing happens in your life, in my life, and you devote yourself personally to Jesus and express it in acts of love toward him, toward his people, and in the world, people will be able to walk into this place and know that there's the unmistakable scent, the aroma of devotion to Jesus in this place and among these people, among us. Let's pray. O Lord, who has poured yourself out for us so that we may be saved, thank you for your love. Help us to love you deeply and personally, and to express it toward one another, toward your world. We thank you for Mary's example of discipleship, and we pray that we will grow in what it means to be a disciple, sacrificing and serving in ways that point to the cross and to what you've done for us there. We pray this for your glory. Amen.